The Holy Gospel according to Luke. Once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long, but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed Jesus. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, Lord.
Please be seated. Dear siblings in Christ, grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we are still in the season of Epiphany, Jesus being made known. And how does he get their attention today? He tells seasoned fishermen how to fish. Now, I don't know about any of you, but have you ever told a guy who knows what he's doing that he's doing it wrong?
Not a second time.
This is a wonderful, wonderful story about Jesus and Peter, who's also known as Simon or Cephas, and James and John. And Luke is setting us up for the rest of their ministry. Peter, James, and John, those names roll together. Part of the reason is because they were in Jesus' inner circle, his whole ministry. Do you remember the transfiguration when Jesus went up on the mountaintop? He had 12 disciples already, but it was Peter, James, and John who got to go up on the mountain. Peter, James, and John were in the Garden of Gethsemane with Jesus. They were ones that he spoke to individually. Peter, James, and John were there, not at the resurrection, but they disbelieved the women, but at Pentecost. They were there, and they caught the Holy Spirit. So here's their beginning story with Jesus. Although James and John may have been Jesus' cousins, we think Mary was their mother's sister. So they might have been first cousins, but you know, it's like Galesburg, everybody's related to everybody else. So they probably knew each other. They hung around together when they were kids. But now, Jesus takes their boats, goes out, sits down in them, and starts teaching from their boats. Like, how? That's kind of, you know, bold. But then he tells them, take your nets and go put out in deep water. And they did. And they caught so many fish, their nets were breaking and their boats were sinking. Because they did listen to Jesus. And Peter, who is always very forward with his emotions, knelt down and said, I'm a sinful man. Go away from me. I don't deserve to be in your presence. The last time we saw something like that was in the book of Isaiah in chapter 6. When Isaiah knew he was in the presence of God and the thresholds of the temple rumbled, and he said, oh, woe is me. I am a sinful man. To acknowledge that they were in the presence of something so holy, so pure, so much bigger than themselves. And Jesus said, follow me. And I will make you fish for people. They probably had no idea what that meant. I still don't completely. But it gives me kind of a framework for Jesus' call to ministry. One, you never know where he's going to show up or how. But if he asks to borrow your boat, let him. And you know, that's a stewardship message. If Jesus asks something of us, it does us well to understand who's asking and to respond with all that we can, with our heart, mind, strength, and soul. And we never know what Jesus is really going to be asking of us. But I know you all respond. And it's with what God has already given you. I was telling Vince on the way here this morning, we pulled into the church parking lot at 8:30, and the parking lot was already pretty full because the choir was already here and busy preparing. They gave of their time and their voices. And now there is some reward in that, because when you're singing in a choir and you're making music and it's good music, it is a joy. It is spiritually uplifting, and it's not a work. It's a treasure. But I saw Chuck Nelson's van. He came early, giving God his time, as Jay does every other month or so, to get here early, to open up the church, to make sure it's warm and well lit. And then I started thinking about all of you in your own ways, in your own vocations. And I think of those of you who go visit elderly friends who are maybe homebound or in nursing homes. You're giving of yourself to be the body of Christ to those people. And I think about Steve and Jerry and Jay, who minister at funerals in their work at HPW. They're retired. They wouldn't have to be doing anything else. And then I think about all of you who come out to make sure our food pantry is able to feed the hungry of our community. You are loaning Jesus your boats. And as a congregation, we don't always talk about this, but we loaned Jesus our boat. It's already his boat. When we let a refugee family stay in our Kellogg house, or partnering with Habitat for Humanity in Bankston Hall, or when our food pantry outgrew our little cupboards across from the kitchen counter, and Jesus called us to use more space, and now we use the stage and a bunch of space down in the basement so more hungry people can be fed. You're letting Jesus use your boat. And you all know when and how you're doing it. I could name every one of you because you are such a treasure. So we let Jesus use our boat. And we listen to what he tells us to do because you never know what's going to happen. Put down on the opposite side, go into the deep water and fish. Lord, you're crazy. We've been up all night. We've never done it that way before. Right? You recognize the seven last words of the church. But recognizing the voice of Jesus and saying, you know, we've never done it that way, but yes, Lord, we'll put out in deep water. And when they did catch all the fish, they recognized they were in the presence of the Holy, as we are all the time. In each other's presence, in the presence of the ministries we are called to do, in the presence of all of those who are touched by one simple act of kindness. We are in the presence of the Holy. And as Paul understood, as Peter understood, we're not worthy to be in the presence of the Holy. But the Holy comes to us and makes us worthy by his love, by his grace. That's the definition of grace. And I'm just bubbling with joy to be able to talk about grace with you all who are literally the choir that I'm preaching to. The grace of God is with us, and we acknowledge it. That's why we worship together. And then what the disciples did was accept their new role as followers of Jesus. It's not always an easy road. Our Book of Acts study last week found out that James, the brother of John, was the first disciple who was beheaded, who was martyred for following Jesus. We'll find out later in the book that Peter was crucified. And tradition has it that when Peter was crucified, he chose to be crucified upside down because he didn't feel worthy to be crucified in the same manner as our Lord Jesus Christ. That's a far cry from his denial at the crucifixion. I say these things because discipleship isn't always easy. Following Jesus isn't always easy. And the cross is no thing of magic. One of our local churches has a sign up that says something to the effect of, duct tape is great, but three nails fixed it all. It wasn't just the nails. Yes, Jesus died for us and for the sins of the world, but the nails weren't magic. It was the mission of Jesus that we are called to enter into that is liberating, that frees us and others toward a mission of love and mercy and compassion and acceptance and wonder. Wonder that we're not all made the same. But we are all made by God. Wonder that God chose us to love. Right? Sometimes I wonder why my own family chose to love me. And, you know, there are those days. But God chose us. And so our response is to let Jesus have our boat. Acknowledge we're in the presence. Do what he asks us to do. And accept our role, our new role, given to us in baptism, to liberate others in the love of God. May the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.